Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
We come to have ourselves a good time and learn some new information and to be able to share with you tonight. And so I've got some wonderful, wonderful people that's going to be joining me shortly. We're right in the middle, like dag smack in the middle of our historic, groundbreaking Life, Love, and Wellness Global webinar, and it has just been awesome, just like over the top, over the moon, whatever you want to say. But before we get into that, you know, there's some things that we got to do around here. And so we always make sure that we kind of calm ourselves down and get on the same energetic level. And we do that by an inspirational message, which I happen to write. It's at RevSandy.wordpress.com. So today's message that I want to share with you is simply titled, Why? How often do you ask the question, why? As small children, we are always asking why. We want to learn the reason behind the information. We just yearn to know. However, as adults, we may forget why. We have become fearful of not knowing, yet knowing asking will somehow let others know that we don't know the answer. So what if you don't know? As an adult, you would sternly tell a child that it is better to ask than risk getting hurt. That applies to all people. Challenge the small talk that you have with yourself that keeps you in bondage to fear. Each person has the right to ask why. When you have the answer, it becomes your responsibility to impart the wisdom. Do you have intelligent conversations with yourself? Do you question your actions, asking the infamous why? We can become so robotic, doing things so automatically that we often do not know the why. Perhaps your answer is because I have always done it this way. But why? I have become a self-observer, and it is very interesting. Things I do so routinely, I am asking myself why. Do my actions reflect who I am? Am I stuck in a past condition of reacting? Can I change willingly? Or will I offer resistance to myself? I have learned to laugh at and with myself, especially when my actions are not representative of who I am today. At times I have accepted what others have told me to be the truth, unconsciously, of course, I have smiled, or I go along on automatic because I am not required to think about what I am doing. Practice being an observer of you today. Ask yourself why. Whenever you catch yourself doing anything that does not reflect who you say you are, this is a fascinating exercise, and I know you will find value in doing it. Why? Please record your responses. Peace be unto you. That is actually a conversation that my brother and I had a little earlier today, talking about the why of life, right? And why so many things unfold the way that they do, and perhaps learning how to go back and question our motives and question our self-talk out of that. So before we get to that, you know, we here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, we take this time right here to honor, to respect, and show reverence for our ancestors. Ancestors, we love you. We appreciate you. I feel you guiding us every step of the way of every single day, and we just like to publicly acknowledge your presence and your energy in our lives. And man, without you, we don't know where we would be. So we're thankful that you're with us, that you paved the way for us and ancestors with so much love, so much gratitude, and so much appreciation. We love you, we love you, we love you. It's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So, you know, we've been talking about this Life, Love, Wellness Global, a worldwide wellness movement. We've been telling you guys for a long time. We've been doing a couple of shows around it, having the team members be with us and talk about what our expectations were. And so what we want to do, what we are going to do tonight is we're going to talk about the whys and how it corresponds and correlates to everything that you do. I heard a saying once, and it's reflective of how we're going to approach this tonight. We're not talking about any one thing. It's whatever comes up for the individuals that speak tonight is how the conversation is going to go. But it says, how you do anything is how you do everything. So that's going to be perhaps a central part of this conversation tonight. How you do anything, how you do everything. And so we're going to talk about some of the fascinating opportunities for growth with doing this this worldwide webinar. We've got people from everywhere: the Netherlands, Ghana, West Africa, Johannesburg, South Africa, from Pakistan, and from India. And we have people that are just loving getting the information, and all across the United States, people are sharing with one another, and they're summarizing from their perspective what they heard that day. It has just been absolutely phenomenal. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to get right into the discussion. And remember, you guys, you're always welcome to be a part of the discussion. The call-in number here is 516-531-9819. And you would just hit 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air. Again, the number is 516-531-9819. And we'll be right back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, after this quick break.
Darkness no longer. A child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby kept his lungs. My daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knee. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the path. And daddy can't find, and it can't be seen. The family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey. serving time in jail. It just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change. It's a brand new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new day.
A change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world
day. And it's on the way. We just marched 1,000,000+ the other day. Look, look, we all witnessed the sweat rolling down Miss Liberty's head. She knows the sleeping giant is no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. It's okay to cry. Go ahead and cry, 'cause Jesus wept, but hope and faith be kept. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
The die has been cast. And there's no need to fear, 'cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep. Tell mother not to moan. We need the love, and that is coming home. There's no need to worry. The times dictate a plan. Mother Earth's given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're misunderstood. But hold on to your man, 'cause the future looks good. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world
day.
Order, a brand new day.
It's
a change
day.
Of mind for the human race.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are many with the eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful, my friend, to obtain the same. So if you break the chain, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, and I'll say it again, it's not just to win. Shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart somehow might see there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me, it's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind.
That was one of our ancestors, Mr. Curtis Mayfield, singing New World Order. And that is part of our intention for this worldwide wellness movement. You know, so let me first say, welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, because we're getting ready to get in it. And, you know, the conversation is liable to go anywhere, and you guys are all welcome. Just let me know. Whoever wants to speak, just hit number one on your dial. So this thought was given to me about 15 months ago. I had no idea that it was going to be what it is today, and I still don't think that I've allowed myself to really sit in the magnitude of what this is and what it's doing for. I know that it was given to me, and the source of that I call God. And it's for you to do. You know, so it wasn't given to me like, you know, with a blueprint, like, all right, here, you know, day 5, day 6, 3 months out, 6 days out. And so the blueprint had to actually be created. as this vision was made manifest. And I tell you, I think if I would have known from the jump that it was going to be like it is, I don't know. You know, I probably would have got a little scared and been like, nah, maybe this is not for me. Maybe I just sit, bitch, and moan and complain a little bit more because I'm not taking this on for me to do. But I didn't do that. And my brother and I talked about some of the reasons why earlier, and we'll get to that. But I knew that it was possible. I know that it needed to be done, and I believe I was selected because God knows that I wasn't going to punk out or wimp out with the assignment. And so I put together, I asked some people to partner up with me and to help to bring this thing into manifestation. And I'll tell you, I have one of the best teams in the world to help me with this process. And it wasn't just the individuals that came together and made sure that, you know, like everybody was lined up, they had their appointments and, you know, followed up, making sure they were present for the appointments and things like that. But the actual speakers themselves are a part team, because without them, without the speakers and the speakers sharing so genuinely and authentically from their heart, it made me cry a lot of times to hear the stories, because for several of the speakers, they didn't know where they were going with what they had to say. They felt compelled to give and to share the best that they had with the world. And so tears sometimes welled up in people's eyes just thinking about how truly blessed they were with some of the experiences that they've had in life. And then some people were sharing for the very first time ever some of the stuff that had happened that had affected them all their lives, and they're now going through that process of freeing themselves from the traumatic experiences that happened when they were small children, and they're now, you know, grown adults. And so, you know, it opens the way for other people to be able to look at the monsters in the closet, you know, the boogeyman, and to call it what it is, you know, and to say, you have no more control over me, because, you know, I'm bold enough, I'm brave enough to share this with the world. And so it's so fascinating that people, so many people, every one of the individuals tell a whole different story, you know, about their life and they have experience, which adds to the uniqueness of our communities and how they shared it in such a loving way. Even the children, we've got a 14, 16, and an 18-year-old, and you would think that, you know, children that young wouldn't have very much to share, but we've got one whose biological father killed his biological mother. We've got one that at the age of 15 announced to the world that he was a recovering, at age 15, a recovering dope addict, pills, prescription medicines, and alcohol, and because he was bullied all through his life, and that was where he found his comfort. But his message is something that you've got to hear. So and all three of the children, all three of the younger people's message was the same. It was about love. And the last young man the female in the group was mistreated after her mom died. She was like 5 years old when her mom died, and she went to live with family members, and the family members mistreated her and abused her. And so, you know, these are all loving stories, and people share from their being, you know, from who they are. And because we're able to bring you such a wide variety, there's I think right at 60 speakers, but there's probably 65 or more presentations. The number keeps changing, it seems like. So I stopped counting after a while and just like 10 days, 5 to 7 speakers per day. So, you know, whatever it turns out to be is what it is. But just beautiful, man. Just, you know, we have been targeted by certain industries to test things on. And so we've got chemicals in our foods, we've got chemicals in our water, we've got chemicals in the air, and we've got stuff that we eat that's been genetically modified. And then once you consume all of that stuff, then you got to get on the pills, and then the pills have other side effects. And one of the presenters, Dr. Rakshak Mal Lodha, is from India, and although his speaking is not crispy clear, you get the message. He is so determined to get legislation passed to so that people can understand that urine therapy is a viable means to stand healthy, in that you don't need all of the pills and all of the chemicals that creates other issues in your body. He's a trained, licensed, certified pharmacist, but in his career, as he was writing prescriptions and giving out these pills, he realized that he was causing more damage. And so sometimes he gets really excited when he's talking. You have to really pay attention to what he's saying, but his message is so incredible. And so those are the type of speakers that we have had so far, and we have 4 more days left. So today is day number 6. We've got some incredible people coming up as well. But I wanted to talk about, like I said before we went on break, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. And so with putting on this wellness webinar, it could be similar to getting married or planning a wedding or going back to school or any number of things. But it's like, so what happens when you get to that difficult point? You know, what do you do when you get there? Do you keep going? Do you make your dream a reality, or do you wimp out and be like, oh, I can't do it, it's too hard, man, this hurts, I can't do it, I don't want to hurt? And so just to give you a little background on the experiences in putting this worldwide wellness webinar together, so I had a few people to tell me as we got closer, man, this is historic. This is groundbreaking. I never looked at it like that. I said we needed something to concentrate on people of color. We needed statements. We needed commentary. We needed people that were familiar personally and could touch it up front and say, this is some of the stuff that we haven't dealt with that's causing problems in our community. There's stuff going on behind closed doors in a lot of houses that nobody's really talking about that's causing problems. We're eating junk. You know, doctors are prescribing us stuff that's making us sick. You know, it's a never-ending rat race. But I just knew that the message needed to get out. And I had never looked at it as being, you know, like this great big massive thing, right? And so the first day, about a week before, about 10 days before was the start, the person that I had had contracted, so to speak. Everybody did volunteer work on this project, but the person that I had spoken to that promised me he could design and build a website that would do everything that we needed for it to do, he wasn't around. You know, he was there, but the product wasn't finished. Or just give me two more days. I'm like, I can't give you two more days because the webinar starts in like 5 days. I need for you to do it right now. Well, okay, well, I'll do. So anyway, I had a friend of mine that happened to have seen the website. I think I had made something noted on Facebook or something like that, or sent out a notice or something. Anyway, he saw the website, and he was like, oh, no, that will never work. That is not representative of my friend Sandy Rogers. And he came through, and he designed it. He got it doing all of these fancy things, you know, and all of that. I don't know. But it's beautiful. It's very professional. Ed Phelps, thank you. I love you. I am so indebted to you. And so Ed was like, okay, let's do this. And, you know, I had scribbled down some words or something. He was like, no, Sandy, you got to give it life. This is not life. This is just words, you know. And so he put me back to work. Well, something else had happened that I needed to put my energy over there. So, you know, here I got something on top of that. And then I got to write this for the, you know, do the whatever you call it. There's a terminology for it. But anyway, I had to create the writings for the different sections on the website. Then I had to do this, and then I had to do that. And then this didn't get done, so I had to take on that responsibility. And I tell you, man, it was at a point where I was just like, ugh, right? But I knew I couldn't stop. That was one of those moments that I was like, wow, maybe I really am made of that strong stuff. You know, like that was passed down to me from generations and generations and generations back, you know, some of that transatlantic type of strength, because it really got to be opportunity for growing. That's what I'm calling it. And it wasn't just one thing. It was a number of things. And it was like whatever could go wrong would go wrong, but we didn't stop. I mean, that whole first day, there was one thing after another that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work. But I tell you what, my friend Ed did not stop. And Mr. Kenneth Stiggers is the production man with the interviews, with the videos. He didn't stop. It was late up into the evening. It was like 10 o'clock or something. But we were live on the day that we said we were going to be. And it made me feel good. You know, I was tired, but I understood that we had done this project, and everybody is just so impressed and learning so much and sharing and starting conversations, and that's what we've got to do in our community. We got to stop with all of this closed mouth. Well, I don't want to talk about it because it may hurt so-and-so feelings, or, you know, Auntie Susie said I'm to never talk about that in public because it'll shine the wrong light on the family, or I promise, you know, mom or dad or sister or brother that I would never tell. But it's the stuff that keeps you in bondage, and why you have a cancer growing, or you're diabetic because you feel that there's no sweetness left in life. And so there's things that's happening with your body. But when you can be honest, when you can tell the truth, and it doesn't have to be bad stuff. You know, like one of my nieces, Arletta, she talked about how it was hard. It was not easy for her to share with the world some of her gifts that she had in healing. I could relate to that. You know, so how many people can help, but they don't because they're worried that the family or friends or the community is going to reject them, you know, and not want to hear what they have to say and to share. But nobody had that fear, you guys, not one single person. They tell of ups and downs, highs and lows. They talk about overcoming. They talk about losing weight. They talk about getting better and the things that they've done and the reason why it should be important to the rest of the world as well. So it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. I think I'm past tired right about now because every day offers another set of opportunities to grow and to learn. It is getting easier, but I'm not sure if I'm just, you know, like really high on adrenaline because I'm looking to to put out the next fire. But it's been such a labor of love that it is not one of those situations where I regret any moment of time, not one second, not with you know, things going in the opposite direction for a while, but, you know, being able to pull it back up because we owe this to each other. We owe it to ourselves first, then we owe it to each other to have the conversations, to talk about it, and for those of us that are listening to not judge it, to allow the person to tell the story. It's not your story, so you don't have to agree with it. It ain't your story. Let the person tell their story fully and then be there for whatever support that they need from you. You ain't got to agree with it, and it ain't got to make you happy or none of that stuff. It's not a warm and fuzzy story. So be there. Be the best that you can. Let's help heal each other. And we start that by listening and offering support and encouragement to the person. There have been, you know, situations that have really taken me to a place of just exhaustion, but it's so worth it. You know, it's like raising your children. It is so worth it, and it's a beautiful place to be, just a beautiful place. And so I'm going to stop. Okay, we've got a caller. I wasn't looking at the screen, you guys, so I had gotten deep into my my little piece there, so I apologize. So we actually have my brother, William Saphir, coming on. Go right ahead, William.
Okay. Yeah, first I just want to express my love and appreciation for your work, Sandy. And if anyone knows what's in it and behind it in terms of how far it goes back and how deep in terms of meaning and substance, you know, what you have to offer, you know, I would say I'm probably the one because we've been working at this thing for, oh God, but 50. Almost 50 years. More than 50 years. Almost,
yeah, we celebrated 50 a couple years.
Yeah, that's true. But just wanted to start with that, you know, to just acknowledge the value of what you've been blessed to share with the world. I know it's a labor of love, and I like the analogy of that you shared in terms of just like raising children, and the effort that you were engaged in, that we were engaged in as a team to pull this thing off is definitely the kind of effort that we need to launch in our community. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. You know, we as a ethnic group probably singularly have one of the most valuable stories collectively, maybe than any other ethnic group in the history of humanity. And as such, we have an obligation to share it. And that story is made up of each one of our, of that story. So each one of us has a story that makes up the collective story. And as you mentioned, we have to honor each other's contribution, each other's story. And no two stories will be the same, but all together they represent the essence of the best of the best of the best of what we call humanity or human beings. And I think that describes the African-American experience. We were brought through 300-500 years of trauma, excruciating pain, but growth at the same time. And we were separated from the rest of humanity so that we could be rejoined to the essence of what makes human beings human as a whole group of people. And we have been raised under the watchful eye of the Creator since we've been brought onto these shores of America. And so the stories that people will hear as they listen very carefully to the webinar, just keep that in mind. This is more than just 14 years of that 14-year-old youngster, that 15-year-old, the 16-year-old, or the 88-year-old, well, that matter. It goes way back to the beginning of time, you know, and that's how deep the roots are. So it's a great, 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 great value. And we have to each honor ourselves like that. One of the things that we were discussing earlier, Sandy, is about, how important it is. And that came up during my sharing, how important it is ourselves, for us to trust ourselves, and how when we had our seminal work back in Watts, back in the early 60s, as children ourselves, we didn't know anything to do but to trust ourselves. We didn't even think about it. We just did it. And we took on the transformation of the whole community, and we almost accomplished that, you know, but we just took it on, you know, without even being aware of it, we trusted ourselves so much that we just started responding to the deepest urges in ourselves without questioning it, without doubting it. We just got up and got busy, you know, and I think that's what you're talking about now in terms of how we should approach our community. You know, we have to approach our community trusting the deep value in each one of us, and how significant that is, and how great and awesome that is. And we have to honor that in each other. And as we do that, and allow each other to contribute, to share our stories, that we all will benefit from that, and the healing will take place.
Indeed.
Yes,
thank you, William.
Sure.
Yeah, because, you know, for whatever reason, and there's a million reasons that a person will not tell their story, you know, because they feel that it's not worthy, it's not valuable, it's not meaningful, nobody wants to hear it, and those are the things that we're told about our stories, about what our realities are, so that it will then make us not want to tell the story, but that's what keep us stuck, you know, keep us in bondage to the fear and to, especially as a small child, to the lie that you know is a lie, but you can't call your parents a liar, you know? And so you're looking at it and you're like, wow. You know, it's the same way for well, men and women now, but back in the day when men were drafted into the military, you know, and so you're raised to not hurt anybody, not, you know, harm anybody. Then you go into the service and what's expected of you, you got to kill people. You got to kill women. You got to kill children. You got to kill people. You don't even know why you killing them. You know, it's the same kind of thing. And then they'd be like, well, you know, for the good of your country. What the hell? You know, for real. For real. And so we get duped into all of this stuff. And, you know, with some of those systems that are in place, like the military and so many of the other things, that's the reason why, you know, we have so many of the dysfunctions. And our community, again, is targeted. It's targeted with the vaccines and the chemicals. I read a report earlier today, you know, William, because you were living in Texas at the time when they came out with the vaccine for the girl supposed to ward off the cervical cancer. There's a report came out today that is actually contributing to cervical cancer in these young girls, you know, and the government was like, well, all the young girls from 10 or whatever got to have a vaccination, you know, and so if we don't guard ourselves and if we don't trust ourselves, which I think is the point that you're making, we got to trust ourselves to know what's good and what's not good for us and stand in that power.
You know, and at the same time, you know, you started off the show tonight with your piece on why, you know. At the same time, while we must trust ourselves and trust ourselves at a very deep level, you know, on the surface, we're just reflecting the personality that we got from the world, from the society, from all these lies that we got from the world. But on a very deep level, where we're innocent and we're true and we're pure, you know, and we're honest, that's who we are. You know, we've taken on these personalities that we get from, you know, unknowingly from even from our families and from our neighborhoods and our community, from our relatives, but mostly from the society, you know, and we take on these personalities, but that's not really who we are as human beings, as people. And we must ask the question why. We must question everything we've been told. And if it's true, it'll hold up. You know, I know we were conditioned, especially in the religious environment, we were conditioned don't question God. I said, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, raise the question, you know, of what you've been told in all circles, in all realms of knowledge. You know, raise the question why. Question it, and if it's true, you know, it will hold up to and it'll defend itself if it's true. But if it's a lie,
No, what I was going to say was, you know, like when you're questioning in a church environment, you're not really questioning God. You know what I'm saying? You're questioning that in
place. Right.
So, you know,
that's right.
We got to, you know, take a look differently, you know, with different set of eyes of this stuff. We just accept it as the truth because somebody supposedly in authority told us that this was the way that it is. You know, like, I'm trying to think of how many years, at least 40 years since I have watched the news on a regular basis. Because I realized back in Watts, looking at the news, that if there was a crime being committed, you better believe it was a black person or Hispanic that had done it. There was never any white people that created any of the crimes. You know, they were good law-abiding citizens. And if you call the news to report on something positive and truly newsworthy, like, you know, when I had my modeling company in South Central, And these kids, man, just overcame all kind of obstacles. And we had a good working relationship with the police in the community. We had created a men's organization. And very, very positive. They never once came out to anything that we did. And so they don't want whoever that is. I hear all kind of stories. I'm not, you know, like well up into that industry, so I'm only can go by what I hear because I don't know it, you know, personal to be true or not. But, you know, they, the powers that be in Hollywood or within this false this false escapism that we use called a TV tube, you know, they have guidelines as to what they're going to show. And so the news stations and the local people, they really don't have any say-so, you know, as to what's going to be broadcast. And so, you know, we're caught. We're caught and we're stuck in a place. But so many people don't have that vantage point, and they're believing everything that they see on TV, just absolutely everything. And that's where that self-hate, William, comes from. That's where I'm not worthy because, you know, like, look at everybody that look like me. They always killing and they always fighting and they always doing something bad. And so as a little child, as you're raised in that environment that's constantly feeding that stuff to you 36 hours out of the day, you know, you got to internalize that stuff, you know? So,
You know, Curtis Mayfield, in the song that you played during the break, he said, freedom is not free. And it's so true. You know, we can play the victim continuously. We can keep rehearsing that, you know, or we can decide. We can make a decision that I have the power. You know, I trust the guidance coming deep from within me. I'm this innocent human being. I'm a person of innocence. I was created that way. I am now. It's still in me. I'm not this guilty, cruel, wicked, disobedient creature that I'm made up to be, or painted to be, or this image that's given of me as a human being, especially as a an African descent, you know, and not only African descent, but African American, you know, I'm not this low life creature, this image that's been given to me, and I'm not a victim of that image. No, I am. I paid the price for freedom by seeking to really be in touch with who I really am, what my essence is. That's me. You know, this other stuff is just the crud on top of me, this persona, this personality that you see when you walk through the hood. That's not me, you know. But if you listen to these minds or to these hearts of the people in the webinar and the contributions that they're making and the vision that they have for life and the value that they bring to themselves, to their families, to the neighborhood, to the community, to humanity, that's us. You know, that's who we are. That's who we are. That's what this sojourn in America have brought out of the whole humanity through us, the best of the best. That's who we are. You know, we are not this mistake. We are not this image of this sinful creature that's disobedient to the laws of the universe and who can't fit into the natural order of things the way the Creator created it. We are a rebel and we're supposed to destroy ourselves. We're self-destructive. No, that's not who we are. That's not the correct picture of what the Creator created at all. You know, I don't care whether it's coming out of the pulpit or it's coming out of from Darwin or anybody else, any of the scientists, you know, it's a lie. It's a lie. And then the more we, again, as Curtis Mayfield was saying, you know, this is a new day. This is a new time. This is the dawning of this new era of truth. But it's going to come through us telling our story and telling it from this deep place and trusting that's who we really are, and throwing off this image that I'm this victim, you know, and all I can do is what they, whoever they is, or what they are trying to tell the world I am, trying to tell me that I am. No, that's a lie. And I will only accept the truth. I will work to like you work to put this program together, this webinar. We will work collectively. We will work collectively to establish the truth of who we are, or why we were put on this planet in this human flesh form to serve each other and to be a manager, if you will, of this created order that created thought so much of us as human beings, gave us the responsibility to monitor this creation and maintain it and keep it in order, make sure the sun is doing what it's supposed to do and the earth is doing what it's supposed to do. We have great responsibility, and we have high worth as creatures, and we shouldn't accept anything less in terms of the picture of who we are and what we are.
I agree totally. So we've got a couple of the team members and a couple of the speakers on the line, but you guys, I'm not going to call you out. So if you want to speak, just let us know. Push 1 on your dial. And so, William, as I traveled across the United States and interviewed individuals for this project, I could feel, I knew that it was present, a very deep yearning to tell the story, to begin the healing. You know, that it's so out of the ordinary. I don't even know what to call it anymore. But there are certain restrictions for people being able to use the terminology healing. And so, but I'm going to use it because I'm not claiming that I'm doing anything to affect a change. I'm talking about my perception of why people are sharing so sincerely in the webinar, and it appears that is from a place of offering the best that they have to impact a healing, like you said, on those unresolved traumas that happened, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. You could almost feel like that's where the people were coming from. You could feel like the ancestors coming through the people with these stories that were being told, because people stood strong in their story. They didn't wimp out, you know, they didn't lower their voice, they didn't lower their head. They told the story with conviction, you know, excuse me, but, you know, this shit ain't right, and this is what happened, you know. And I got your line open, Star. And so, you know, that's the kind of courage we got to have in order to expose the stuff to the light so that it can disintegrate. You know, it can just, like, vanish back into the nothingness. And so I've got two people that I just added on. I've got Miss Star Waters, and I have Miss Marlo Oliver. And so these are two more of the speakers. Star is also a part of the team. Well, like I said, everybody's a part of the team. But Star did most of the writing on our social media Facebook page. And so let's do Star first and then Marlo, only because that's the way you guys chimed in. So, Miss Star.
Oh, well, yes, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you could hear me. Thank goodness I didn't chime in and do the amen corner and all that, because I was thinking that, definitely. And so, anyway, what I want to say is, what is so valuable and significant to this project is the fact that you have such a wide age range from 14, is it 12 or 14? 14, right?
No, 14.
14 all the way to 88 years old. I mean, that spans like a lifetime. And so many of the things that the older people, the more mature people who were brave enough to just start telling their story, starts off in childhood, either betrayal or abuse. And then you have these children that are telling the stories in the now, that are brave enough to speak the truth and to speak the abuse and the neglect and the betrayal, all of that in the now, they are going to be so much more weller. I know that that's probably not the right term, but they're going to be so much healthier because to be able to heal it, you must be able to reveal it. And so many of us waiting get to be 70, you know, 80, to tell truth about why we sick.
Yep.
Maybe we did not know. Maybe we did not connect the dots that, you know, what grandfather did to us when we were 5 years old has us just messed up and has had us all messed up, where we don't trust men, where we, you know, where we're over children, you know, and we have, you know, tell the truth and shame the devil. But get it out. There's more room outside of our bodies. There's more space outside of our head. And when we are brave enough to tell our truth, you have all these people that chimes in. Yep, that happened to me. Amen. I'm raising my hand. It's a story that just almost goes throughout our existence. And I do agree with you. The ancestors are holding us up. We are definitely standing on their shoulders. And I thank you for being obedient to the voice of God, giving this project to our people. Thank you so very much. I'm so proud to be a part of it. Thank you. And then I'm going to bow out and let someone talk.
Thank you, Star. Miss Marlo.
Hey, Mama Sandy.
Hey, baby.
So, the first thing I want to do is just acknowledge you for having the courage to do what needed to be done to allow this webinar to happen. And, you know, you create a safe space. You're committed, you are passionate, you are real, and I think everyone who took the time to participate in this webinar knows that about you and loves that about you and knows that you are someone who is committed to not just your own healing, but I mean everybody's healing. And that's even reflected in the webinar, not just by each individual who shared their story. It really tripped me out to realize that this webinar covers life in utero, from Queen Mee talking about the abortions that have occurred to Seeley Ma'at sharing about how her stepmother, so how her stepmother's soul came back for her father's soul after they both transitioned. So I'm like, you want to talk about Cradle to Grave? This is pre-Cradle to Grave,
mm-hmm.
if you will. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just covers life. Like life before you get here, life to after you leave here, life. And girl, that is phenomenal. I need you to get the magnitude of everybody you brought together and how this is unfolding and just how beautiful it is and how beneficial it is. I need you to get it. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, daughter.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Well,
I
look, don't get it right now because you got
like
a show to do.
That's what I'm saying,
right?
Don't get
it right now. So you can sit with it for a second, but, you know, considering you do not need that airtime, you know, once all this is over, I really encourage you to just sit in how very deep this project is and just how far, just how wide-reaching it is. And, yeah.
Thank you.
Once this is over, I want you to get that. Say that again,
Marlo.
Yes.
That's what happens when we serve from our authentic self. When we just serve, from that deep place. It's so much actually so much deeper than we can even. Express really, you know, because what happens when you allow yourself to be a vehicle like Sandy has, then you are serving the Creator. You are tied to the all of the resources and the strength of the whole creation. Once you allow yourself to serve from that deep place within yourself, then you're one with the sun. You're one with the star. You're serving from that place of being one with the earth and all that's in it, and it comes up out of it, the plants, the animals, the minerals, all of that. You're one with the spiritual realm. The mental, the intellectual realm, the physical realm. You're one with all of that, you know, and so you just flow with that flow of light. And so I'm getting what you're saying, and it is that profound, it is that deep. And that's, again, that's the answer to our sojourn in America. And that, the work, Sandy did the work. She put the effort out. But the same thing that she did, this was Jesus the Christ. He said that you all can do greater works than me.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We all can step up to the plate like that.
Don't have me opening my Bible up to Luke and quoting scripture now. Come on.
Yeah, we all have that within us to serve on that level, and that's why I'm so happy that Sandy is doing this on the level that she's doing and doing it publicly like this and so openly.
Yeah.
So that we all can step up. Yes.
You nailed that one, Uncle William.
Okay. And our next speaker that we have coming on is Sister Havana.
Greetings, everyone.
Hey, Havana.
Greetings,
Alan. It is so wonderful to hear. I'm having a little sore throat problem from the air condition. So bear with me a little. It's so wonderful hearing all of the souls that presented themselves in this summit. And it was so amazing to hear each story because each story, you know, it's coming together to weave a tapestry of everybody's life experience. And it's causing everyone to take notice and want to do something about transforming the entire world. It starts with self. And so I listened to in depth, and it just made me feel so connected to everything that was being said. So I'm so elated at the vastness of wisdom that was presented in each story. Even the young people, I was so amazed at hearing these young folks talk about their experience. I said, wow, I went through a lot at that age, but never had the courage to speak out against what was happening to me. So to hear these young people talk about the things that they went through with gave me so much courage to continue speaking out. I was a little timid and shy in my earlier part of life, and every now and then I fall back into that shyness because I think, well, people don't want to hear me, or people don't want to just listen to the truth. They don't want to transform, but I can't think like that. I'm learning to go through each of my chakras and to balance them so that I can receive better, so that I can put out better information, so that I can pay attention closer to what's being done and what's being said to help others transform. So I applaud you, Sandy. I thank you for birthing this. This is your baby. And I thank Star. I thank Weird. I thank Malone. I think everyone that had a part in this, helping Sandy and having the courage and the faith to say, okay, yeah, we can do it, and it's done. And so I just want to leave you with perfect peace and love for all that you're doing. You are my Shiro. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Love you, Havana.
Love you, too.
You know, I'm just, Havanaugh tells her story on day 8 in a couple of more days. And her story, it's very empowering, and I would urge all of you to tune in to her story. That's Thursday the 28th. And she is she's a strong sister, and she's so committed and dedicated to craziness, you know, or however you want to define it. And I'm really proud of everyone, you know, the stories, and especially my daughter Marlo, and how she was transparent, lovingly told a story that has been affecting her for 40-plus years, you know. And that's what we're talking about, you know. What Havanaugh was just saying is that, you know, there's so much hope because the younger children are telling their stories now. They're not waiting until they're 40, 50, 60, 70 years old to tell their stories. They're like, you know, this crap is happening right now, and it ain't right, you know. And so we're going to shine the light on it now so that we don't have to take it any further with us. And that's what we should encourage our young people to be talking about. And I, you know, some of that not talking was attitudes and behaviors that were created on the plantation. You know, it was survival, and there's an excellent book out called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGruy. And Dr. Joy talks about, you know, the tactics that we had to use to protect our children when we were on the plantation from, you know, the plantation owners, the slave owners molesting their daughters and having their sons molest the daughters, you know. And so there was certain language that was used, but we never transitioned once we left the plantation. We didn't transition. We didn't empower our youngsters with words of encouragement and of strength and of power we kept with that same, you know, well, you know, my child, she ain't this, my child, he ain't that, you know, and belittling our children. And that is a carryover from that point in time. And so, you know, we've got to learn as much as we can, because the forces that are here, that are alive, that are well, and that are very active in our community, they're doing a number. They're doing a number as far as getting the minds of our young people all wrapped up and twisted to being dumbed down. I don't know if you've heard that terminology, but our kids are being dumbed down. People, powers know how brilliant our babies are, and so they got them with iPhones, iPads, i this, i that, and they're caught in this technology, and they're not experiencing life. They're not sharing. That was one of the concepts that William had come up with, was the youth leadership ranch, where there is that sharing between the older and the younger, because that has to take place too. You know, like, okay, so maybe we haven't done the best of jobs with what we've done, but we've got some insights. We've got some wisdom that we can share with the children, and so we've got to open up that door so that there's a two-way communication. But as long as we're allowing these children to stay constantly on these devices where they never look up and acknowledge somebody else in the room, then we're doing a disservice to them. So, yeah. It's
Sandy,
multifaceted. Uh-huh, go ahead.
Sandy, I'm one of the things that I observe in the majority of the speakers were women, were sisters, you know. And that's so needed. As we go through this period right now that we're in as a humanity, as an ethnic group, as we are paving the way for our future, recreating our circumstances that surround us now. As we do that, a large part of the burden to make it happen is going to fall on the sisters, on the women, on the mothers, and by mothers I don't just mean a woman that has small children in a household that she's raising. I mean mother's voice in all parts of the society. If it's going to be done, that's where the majority of the work is going to be done. Mother's voice. Female speaks with such a strong, authentic voice that's just tied to the natural order itself. Men have to work at that. We have it, but we have to work at it, you know, for it to surface and flow. Women have it. They've just been put in circumstances where they haven't been given the freedom to position that voice in the fabric of society. So this is so powerful, and it's not by mistake,
right.
Maybe not by the conscious design, but that most of the women, most of the speakers were in fact women. That's one of the things that brought so much power to the webinar setting, and you said it all just now, Sandy, that the work in telling our truth, yes, we must, in order for a patient to come into a healing, the first thing that has to happen is that the condition has to be diagnosed. You know, you have to know what's wrong. So that takes a sharing of the story in terms of the traumas that we've been affected by, the abuse that we suffered, and on and on and on. So that kind of tells some of the story of in our immediate life. They don't tell necessarily the story that's in our genes and our DNA, but at least it tells some of the experiences that we've had in our more immediate life, because we haven't been treated for the trauma that came up from slavery. Just think about that.
Right.
For hundreds of years, we were traumatized, and we were never treated for that psychologically, spiritually. We were never treated for that. So it's up to us to do it now, and we have the power to do it. But the power comes through questioning, like you said, with the why, questioning, and then the power also comes from us selectively telling our story in terms of what went wrong or what was destructive, but also telling the story in terms of what's the value out of our experience. The excellence, the good that came out of our experience. Let me just share one thing, then I'll pass. Sandy, you and I share this experience coming from the Student Committee for Improvement in Watts, where as children, we felt this deep urge that something had to be done about our situation. And we responded to that. We trusted ourselves. We responded to the deep urge within ourselves, not knowing exactly what to do. But we in our innocence as children, we felt very strongly that something needed to be done. We didn't see anybody else doing it. So we just started doing things. And as we yielded to that urge that was in us, things started taking shape, much like this webinar, Sandy, and how you described that. As you yielded to the urge and just started working on it, it all kind of came together. The blueprint came together. You didn't have it originally. So that's the kind of thing, kind of attention we have to turn on our communities as we rebuild this ethnic group, as we rebuild this world. We have to look at it and carefully select from our past the value and the good, like I just pointed out. As children, we responded to the deep urge. That was great value, and that had the power in it to transform that whole part of the world called Watts at that time. And fast forward, that's where we are right now. So that's one aspect. But each one of us in our story, we can find great value, great good in our story through the pain. Through the fear, there was some great good in that. So we want to identify that as well, bring that forward, and be very selective at the things we want to keep repeating. We don't want to keep repeating. We want to identify the problem, identify the trauma, identify the abuse, identify the pain, but we don't want to keep repeating. The thing that we want to bring forth to create our future is we want to keep repeating the good that we want, the excellence that we can identify, the value that was in our experience, and the value we see that we need moving forward. I'll pass.
Mic's open. All right.
This is Star. I was going to say that, yes, maybe not keep repeating it, but then I'm going to differ and say sometimes repeating it may be necessary, because a lot of times it takes about 3 to 7 times for messages to get understood, embed themselves in a place of total understanding and getting to that aha moment. So, I would say using different voices, using different scenarios of the same story, but repetition is very important in the aspect of learning and teaching. And so much that I have heard of the stories and the stories that have not been told yet that I was privy to hearing the interviews are those repetitions. You know, it's like, I've heard this before. And so that's really cool. And with that, I'll back out.
You know, I think it's extremely important to acknowledge the courage, the strength, and the self-love that the speakers had to shine the light on their particular topic. Because we must, as William was saying, this stuff is embedded deep, deep, deep in us. And it's sometimes easier to just say, I know it ain't the truth, but I'm not going to say anything. But to stand up, man, you know, that's what brings tears to my eyes, is the strength that we have to stop the nonsense, to stop the lies, to stop being fearful, to stop being quiet, to stop feeling like our stories are not worth being told, but to tell the story so that you can heal, your immediate tribe can heal, the community can heal, and the world can heal. Because it's not just about your story. It's not just about my story. It's not just about Star, Marlo, Ebenar, or William's story. It's about the commonality that is all of our story. We each have the same story. So as we find the courage and the love, self-love, and the strength to stand in who we are, we give other people permission to do the same thing. Like Star was just saying, it may be the same story, just told in a different dialogue. It may be slang, it may be old school, it may be hip-hop, it may be something, you know, but basically the same story, but it's being told. And that is the beauty and the value in this worldwide movement, wellness movement, is that people are willingly, willfully going on film, being videotaped, being archived, and sharing who they are unapologetically. That is so much power. That right there, standing in what it is. And it is incredible, the depths of these stories, man. I mean, I've cried with a couple of the people or been at a loss for words, and they're not saying it to get you to cry. It just is so real. It's so real, and you can feel it. And that's the beauty in the sharing of our reality, because it validates who we are.
I agree with you, Sandy, on that. I cried through a couple of the stories too. And it was just so overwhelming. It was such a deep connection with them while the story is being told.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've learned about the throat chakra, if you do not speak out and tell your story or speak out against some injustice or whatever the situation may be, you will create types of illnesses in your body. And then you start taking pills and trying to fix the problem, but the problem is deeper than, it goes deeper than that. You have to speak out, because if you don't, your throat chakra will close up, and then you will be ill throughout your body. And so you can't hold it forever. So speaking out heals you. it brings whatever's going on inside to the surface to be healed. So I'm learning more and more about how to balance the chakras throughout the body. You have to speak out against injustice. You have to.
Yes.
This is something about it.
Thanks, Havana. So for anyone listening in, the registration is still open. You don't have to put up a credit card. It's totally free. What happens when you register, you create an account. And what that account allows you to do is to go in and look at as many of the days as you choose for as long as you want. While I don't see it coming down in the near future, but as long as the website is up and you've created an account, you get to go on free. And, you know, like if you want to have a viewing party, host a viewing party at your house or something like that, you can invite some neighbors over. And, you know, like if day two was the best day for you, then, you know, wind up day two and you guys discuss it afterwards. But it is absolutely free, absolutely free. And I invite you to look at it as many times as possible. The key word is to register on the website. And the website is lifelovewellness.org. And you put your email address in there. You create a password, and it will take you into the website when you log in. And sometimes you have to scroll down a little bit before the top will populate, but the second tab over from the left at the top is where you'll get the videos. And I think that's all the little secrets. So, you know, like I said, every day was an opportunity to learn something new and to grow. And so we have had different little tricks that we've had to use to keep this thing going, but it's working much, much better. And again, our technical behind-the-scenes team is Ed Phelps with the website, Kenneth Stiggers with the production of the videos, and Anthony King that has done the music for us, and all of my wonderful people that was with us tonight, my brother William, my sister Star, my daughter Marcel, and my sister I love you guys so much. Guys, just stay tuned here. Not sure who that is. I'm going to have to cut you guys down. So I just want to make sure that you listen to the last 4 days starting tomorrow and going through to Saturday. So Saturday is actually our last day. And the speakers are phenomenal. You will appreciate everything that's being said and find so much more love and joy in the different speakers as they share their stories. I know Star will be back on, Havana will be on. And I love you guys. I love you, love you, love you.
Love you, Sandy.
Love you.
We'll see you next week. I am, I tell you, I'm flying high. So this has been a labor of love, and I'm glad that God chose me to deliver it. I love you guys. I'll see you next week.
Bye. Love you. Bye.